This is April 16th, 2024. Hello and good morning once again. My name is Pastor George Goins of Macedonia Baptist Church, and I want to welcome you to Back to the Basic Bible Study. And if this is your first time listening in, we appreciate you listening in. Hopefully you'll enjoy it and it'll be a blessing to you. Our goal is just to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to just do some Bible study as we do, and a little preaching here and there kind of gets carried away, but we enjoy it doing that. But that's what we do here, and we're very grateful. But I pastor Macedonia Baptist Church. For those that are new, we are located over in the Bright Star, Arkansas area. We've been on the radio now for 12 years, I think going on 13 years. Lord's been good to us, and we've just been very grateful to be able to be a part of this. But I pastor Macedonia Baptist Church, have been for 17 years now. Lord's blessed us, blessed our church, and we've seen many souls saved, and we've seen some lives changed, and just a great, great group of people that love the Lord, and we're just very grateful to be able to continue what the Lord has started here back in 1856 when there was a settler from Georgia who came here, Nelson Porterfield and his family and some other settlers, and they joined up with some folks around here, and they started Macedonia Baptist Church and the cemetery as well. And so we are hopefully continuing what they've started and what the Lord has been doing here in this place. So we'd love for you to come be with us. We have services on Sunday morning at 9:45 for Sunday school and 10:45 for worship service. Then at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, and then Wednesday night at 7 o'clock as well. So we'd love for you to come and be a part of Macedonia Baptist Church. Matter of fact, next month in May, the third Sunday of May, we will celebrate 168 years. It's pretty amazing. 1856, you think about it, Abraham Lincoln wasn't even president at that time. And it was amazing that God gave a man a vision, and he was obedient and followed through with it. And so that's how Macedonia became what it was, is because of obedient people. And then throughout the years, you know, the pastors have been here, and the folks has been a part of this church for many, many years. So we're grateful to be a part of it as well. I'm going to be in John chapter 21 today. We're going to look at verse 15 through verse 17. We're going to talk about God's love. And what a more appropriate song to sing is Love Lifted Me. So hopefully you'll enjoy this. If you know the song, just sing along with us, okay? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Awesome song, isn't it? I just love it. It's just a good old song. Remember when I was a kid singing this song many, many times in church? When I first started leading music way back, good night, I was a teenager. And I learned this song and would use this song, and I thought it was a pretty cool song to sing, and it is. It's just really a good song. And of course, God's love does lift us, and thank God for His love. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God commendeth His love, which means He demonstrated His love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we can honestly experience the love of God. He's already shown His love by sending His Son to die for us so that we could have eternal life. And we can experience that love, that true love that we're going to talk about today, God's love. That only way you can get it is if you got to have God in you. Because it's God's love. And so to experience that, you must trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Allow the Holy Spirit to come inside of you. Well, not necessarily allow, but once you get saved, He comes in. So, and He does, and you can experience this love. So we're going to look at John chapter 21, actually just three verses here that we're going to look at here. And it's Jesus. Of course, this is after the resurrection. We've been talking about the resurrection in the last few weeks. And it was very important that Jesus, not only did He die and was buried, but that He rose again. If He had not rose again, we would, for one, not have hope. Number two, He'd be just like anybody else. So it was imperative, it was critical that He rose again as He said He would do on the third day, and He did. And so we've seen some interesting things post-resurrection where Jesus appears to His disciples. He appears to those two men that were walking to Emmaus, Mary Magdalene, some of the other ladies that were down at the tomb, and they saw that it was empty. And according to Acts, even over 500 people at one time did Jesus appear. And so it's the witnesses are there, the evidence is there. And of course, if you've experienced Jesus, you know He lives because He lives in you. And that's the only way I know how to describe it. So look at verse 15. It says, so when they had dined, this means after they had sat down to eat, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That's a question. He saith unto him, this is Peter, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. interesting passage, interesting three verses here. In these verses here, Jesus would ask Peter, he would ask him three times, did he love him? And out of these three times, Jesus uses two words, two different words here with two different meanings, I should say, from the Greek. The first two times that he asked Peter, did he love him? He was using the agape word, which is a God love. We'll talk about that here in a moment. It's a love that only comes from God. And so he was asking in that word, and it's a word that Peter didn't even know at the time because he had never experienced this word before. He knew of some other words, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. But then the last time that Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me, he actually used a word that Peter recognized, which is phileo, and which means like a brotherly love or have an affectionate for, which would be a word that he understood and he knew. And when Peter answered Jesus in these three times, he always used the word, the phileo word, Greek word, meaning, again, that it was like an affectionate love or a brotherly love that he would have for Jesus. So Peter's going to be introduced to a new word, a new vocabulary word, I guess you could say, which is an agape love we're going to look at. There's several types of words that are used for love, but there's four of them that are very familiar to us that comes from the Greek. Now, the first word is eros, is the word. It's a Greek word. And what it means is a romantic love between a husband and wife. So it's a word that is used between, that would be used between a husband and wife, that kind of love. So eros is actually where we get our word erotica from. And then there's the second word, it's storge. And that word is a love, meaning a Greek word that means the love of a mother would have for her child, or a family member kind of love, I guess would be an easier way to say that. But like a mother would love their child, it's that kind of a love. It's a little different than the eros because it's not a romantic love, but it's almost like a bonding love that you have with your child. And then there's the word phileo, which is a love one would have for a brother, or Christians having for each other, we should have. It's an affectionate love. We'll talk more about it later. Then there's this agape love that Jesus used twice, the first two times, asking Peter, did he love him? What he was asking is, do you agape love me? And of course, Peter didn't understand because he hadn't learned this word yet. And Jesus was introducing him to this word, which means, you know, it's God's love for humanity. When you read John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he's using the agape love there. And it'd be also a love that you would have for one's enemy as well, which Jesus had, because Jesus loved the world just as God loved the world. Then we see not only what does the types of love, but God's command for love. We can go back to the New Testament. God's command for love toward him, toward God. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all of thy might. So it's very important with your whole being is what he's commanding here. So you're going to love God with your whole being, your heart, your soul, and your might. And then toward others, in Leviticus 19:18 says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So we are to love one another, our neighbors, as we love ourselves. Okay. And then toward strangers, even in Leviticus verse 34, same chapter, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So we are to love even what he referred to strangers here, which would be more likely some of those that were brought in as servants into the land. They're not of their nationality and of different nationalities, and they were brought in, and they were to love them as if they were born among them. Okay, so we see that in the Old Testament, but also Jesus taught in the New Testament about love toward God. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." So in Mark here, Jesus teaches that we are to love God just like in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. We're to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, with all of our soul. That's our being. That's who we are. We're a living being, breathing being. And with all of thy mind. That means in your mind, your intellect and your knowledge. And with all of thy strength, which would be your bodily strength, your mental strength, your spiritual strength, all of that. We are to love God with all that we have and who we are. And then toward others, Jesus also commented in the next verse. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. What? The first two, which is to love the Lord, right? And then we are to love our neighbors as well. So everything rotates around this word love. Okay, and of course, this love that we're referring to is an agape love that only God can give you. And through you, he can work through you with this love. Then also, Jesus taught towards your enemies. We are to love our enemies. He says in chapter 15 of John, verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So that's a pretty strong statement, don't you think? He's saying, listen, you love one another just as I have loved you. And of course, we know what Jesus did for us. He went to the cross. But then in verse 13, he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So Jesus was giving us an example here of what that kind of love looks like. Now we're going to look here, four different thoughts here, if I can get through it, hopefully. The ministry, the commitment, the church, and then true love. Those are the four thoughts I want to look at. And this is Peter's love and his devotion being questioned. Okay, you got to remember, what did Peter do? Peter had denied Christ three times. You remember, right prior to his crucifixion, he had made that deny. But if you remember, even prior to that, when they were having the Last Supper, he had made the statement that he would die for the Lord, right? You remember? And then he ended up, of course, the Lord Jesus told him he was going to do this before the next morning, before the rooster would crow. "You're going to deny me three times." And Peter denied him three times. So that was the test. That was the test. Jesus already knew what was going to happen. But this test was for Peter. This would be a breaking point in Peter's life, which would turn him around, and he would become even more committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we go through a breaking process so that we can become more committed unto the Lord. So let's look here. The ministry, the first one here, verse 15, as he mentions here, the first time he asked him to love him, he says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said unto him, Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" So he's asked this question. This is after the meal, after they done ate, then after the meal, Jesus points out Simon Peter. That's who he points out. There's four things to note. One is that Jesus had already appeared to Peter. According to what we know in the scriptures, it says that in Luke chapter 24, verse 34, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." Now, if you remember, we preached on that the last time we were together, and we talked about that. What had happened was, is that apparently Jesus had come to Peter. And Peter, of course, gave his testimony that the Lord had risen indeed, because he had seen him. 1 Corinthians 15:4 says, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. So we know that Jesus had to appear or had already appeared to Peter. So Peter was already convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead. Peter's leadership, of course, was being reinforced here publicly among his peers, among his the other disciples while they were here together. He pointed out Peter. He had a purpose for Peter. I believe his purpose for Peter was to lead the other disciples. Peter was the rock, you remember? But he messed up, didn't he? But he learned so much from that breaking point. And then Peter's commitment was reinforced as well to hopefully never deny Christ again. Of course, we find out that he never does. Matter of fact, he goes to his death for the cause of Christ. Always taught to love the flock of God. Jesus focused on Peter. He called Peter by his full name. He said, Simon. He referred to him as Simon, which would be Simon Peter. Okay, so he calls him Simon here, which, would attract everybody's attention, especially if he pointed out Peter the way he did. He called him the son of Jonas, which was a reminder. Of course, he was a son. Jonas was his dad. And it was a reminder of his humble beginnings. He was just a fisherman. He wasn't a rich man. He wasn't what I would call a king by no means. But this would remind him of his humbling beginnings. Peter was, of course, nothing apart from Christ. Nothing apart from the ministry that he was about to receive that Jesus was going to give him. As you see, we read on. He says, he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Then we see the commitment. The commitment, difference between the three questions here. We're going to look at that first. The first one in verse 15 is who he loved the most. So Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? In other words, do you love me, Peter, more than these? We don't even know exactly what Jesus was referring to as these. They could have easily been referring to his disciples. Maybe he was pointing at the disciples. Do you love me more than you love these men? He could have very well been doing that. We don't know because it's not that clear. We don't know. Or maybe Peter, because they had been fishing. Maybe Jesus was referring to Peter's career, his profession. Do you love me, Peter, more than you love going fishing? We don't know. It's not clear. And then we see the second time in verse 16. He says, did he love with a God love? Now look at verse 16. He said unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now he's using, of course, the word agape love. And of course, Peter goes on to say that he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. So the first time he said, feed my lambs. Now he's saying, feed my sheep. Then he go on here, and of course, as I said, Jesus was asking an agape love. It's a love that of God himself. Peter responded with a phileo love, which is a brotherly love. Same way he did in the first time. Then you see in the third time, here in verse 17, he's asking Peter, did he have a genuinely brotherly love, a love of loyalty? Okay, which is what he's referring to here. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas. He addresses him the same way. Lovest thou me? And now Jesus is using a different word here. He's using the phileo word. Do you love me as a brother? Is what he's saying. Are you committed to me? Are you willing to do whatever I need you to do? Are you going to fail me like you did before? This is what Jesus is asking Peter here. And then Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. So he already knows the divine Godship of Jesus, that he's God, that he knows all things. He said, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. All three responses of Jesus was ministry, the lambs, the sheep, okay? What was Jesus preparing Peter and the other disciples for? Well, one day they would demonstrate an agape love. They would learn and understand this agape love that only God could give them. It's a God-given love. God gives it. It's a sacrificial love of God. They would be willing to give and even die for Christ and for their enemies. Jesus' love for humanity is this agape love. It wasn't the nails. It wasn't the Roman soldiers. It was the love of Christ. It was the love of Jesus that kept him on the cross, dying for the people who had no strength, dying for the ungodly. Romans 5, 6 says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Dying for sinners. Romans 5, 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Number 4, dying for the enemies of God. Romans 5, 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So Jesus even died for his enemies. Then we see this agape love of God is distributed by the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned earlier, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. And when he does, this love is available to us. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Then we see number 3, the church in verse 16. He says, feed my lambs. In verse 15 and verse 16, he says, feed my sheep. 3 times was commissioned to feed and to tend the flock of God. Note 3 things. Number 1, the flock of God is the church of God. Acts 20, verse 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. We are to guard ourselves and the flock of God. Number 2, the flock of God is made up of lambs and sheep. Lambs would be young and those who need special attention. Sheep would be mature, means those that have already are growing. Then number 3, we see the ministry to the flock or church is twofold. Number 1, feed them. Teach both the milk and meat of the word. Guide into the study of the word. Tend the sheep. Shepherd the sheep. 1 Peter 5, 2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Then we see lastly, true love of God. The true love of God. The difference between agape love and phileo love. Phileo love is a tender affection, deep feelings within the heart, love to those near and dear to us, brotherly love, a love between family members, a love that would die for a brother. Agape love is a love of mind, of reason, and of will. It's a sacrificial giving. It's an unconditional acceptance. It's unselfish devotion. It's personal commitment. It's genuine concern. It's strong loyalty. It's tenderness of heart. Now you can see the difference. There is a difference. Of course, God loves all of humanity with a God love, agape love. For God so loved the world, that's an agape word, the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse John 3, 17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the reason he loved us with an agape love. We had no hope. We had no chance. And the only chance we had was through his son. So what kind of love do we express? God loved us when we were not worth his love. We should show our love for him and others unconditionally. 1 Corinthians 13, 13, of course, is the love chapter. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, which is love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And it is. Oh, that we would love. Can you imagine the change it would make in this country if people would learn to love with a godly love? We would learn to forgive. We would learn to be patient. We would learn to help instead of hinder. We would do everything we could to help our neighbor. And that's what God wants us to do. Love each other. Love with an unconditional heart. Love the Lord and then love others. Father, thank you for the word. Use it now. I pray you'll use it in a powerful way to touch our hearts. Help us all to be able to associate with this kind of love that you can give us, which is this agape love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who comes into our hearts, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can experience this agape love, that we might learn to love you better, be more committed to you, more loyal to you, but also that we would be loving to our neighbors. Help us now. We love you and thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you again for listening in. And Lord willing, we'll see you next week. Come and see us. God bless.